Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. This is my first morning of being out of my sling after my shoulder surgery, and so I have to remind myself that I have a left hand that I can actually turn pages here with. So thank Jesus for his healing power. Amen. Leading up before Christmas, Sunday mornings, we've been in the midst of a series going through the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is a fairly lengthy book, so we've actually done it in stages over the last year or so. And we're going to pick it up here this morning. We're in Acts chapter 20. And just a few thoughts that I really hope will encourage you and challenge us today as we are in this first Sunday of 2017, as we launch into a new year. The title of my sermon this morning is Living a Legacy. A legacy is oftentimes one of those things that we hope that when we pass away at some point in time, that there will be some things from your life, my life, that people will remember. People will say, when I look back on so-and-so's life, this is how their life touched me. And I know we don't think about that very often, but the reality is that we are all, in some ways, leaving an impression on somebody. We are all leaving an impression on, if you're a parent, you are leaving your impression upon your children. If you are a teacher, you are always leaving impressions upon your students. And today we're going to spend a few minutes looking at a few thoughts coming out of the life of the Apostle Paul, and realize that it was very important that the people that Paul engaged his life with, that they were getting the right impression, they were getting the right mark upon their life. And as we're going to look at some things today, I pray that we can take some of his thoughts and we can apply them to our own life. And so here in chapter 20 of Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is actually on his third and final missionary journey, and we're going to just pull up a map here if we could. He's been, where we are in Acts, we'll just turn this little gadget on that I've got. There we go. Good, there it is. There, can you see it? This is where Paul is today in Acts chapter 20 at a place called Miletus. And he's on this third journey, kind of going along all these different places where he has planted churches, where he has established relationships with different people along the way. And he spent actually 3 years at this place called Ephesus. And he's on his way back to Jerusalem down here. And the interesting thing is, as he's been going along, he's getting to the point on the journey where he's wanting to, his goal now is to get to Jerusalem. And so when he gets to Miletus, he, even though he loved the people of Ephesus, he was in a bit of a hurry to get to Jerusalem. So instead of going up to Ephesus again, he decided to call the elders from the church at Ephesus to come down and visit him here at Miletus. He just knew that if he went up there, you know what it's like when you go to someone's place, you just can't go for a few minutes and leave? And that's kind of what the way it was with Paul going to Miletus, to Ephesus. He had spent so much time with them, they were so much in his heart, that he knew that if he went and stayed there or went to visit them, he'd probably spend another year there, kind of thing. And so he was very much on a fast track, wanting to get back to Jerusalem. And one of the reasons, you can read about it actually in verse 16, one of the reasons was that he was wanting to get back to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. And so as he's going along here, though, So he calls the elders from the church at Ephesus to come. And let's pick it up in verse 17. So Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. And when they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day that I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews." One of the reasons that he called the elders from the church at Ephesus was that he knew that this was going to be probably the last time that he would see these people. And so he wanted to make sure that they had some of his final thoughts, final words, last words of instruction, last words of encouragement, last words of equipping. I know years ago when my father was on his deathbed, I had the privilege of spending the last 2 or 3 weeks with him and going into his hospital room every day and visiting him and spending time with him. And those were some very precious moments, because my dad knew that his time on this earth was nearing the end. And so we would sit there on the chair and him laying there in the bed, and he would whisper things to me. He would talk to me. He would give me words of encouragement. One of the things, I've shared this before, one of the things he said to me, he said, "Dave, don't ever be a quitter. Don't ever give up." And those things still ring true in my heart today. Because, you know, the reality is we are all in a struggle and in a battle. And it's so easy to become discouraged and give up on the call that God's called. My dad was giving me these final words. And so those last words matter. And so here in Acts chapter 20, we find Paul giving some last words, some final words of encouragement and instruction, wisdom to these elders, the church of Ephesus. And so in verse 18, we see that how we live matters. And if you want to jot some of these thoughts down in your outline this morning, in your bulletin, go ahead. The reality is, Paul, as he was reflecting on his life, he said in verse 18, he says, "You know how I lived the whole time that I was with you." And the interesting thing is, those words, "whole time," it says to me that Paul lived a consistent life before the church at Ephesus. He was predictable. It wasn't like, you know, one day he was this red-hot, fiery Christian, and then the next day he was this cold, disconnected, ornery so-and-so. Paul, it says, the whole time he lived his life well before the church at Ephesus. He said, "From the first day that I came," he said, "I served the Lord with great humility." You know, consistency is a really important thing. If you're a parent, your children need the consistency of a godly parent. Your children need a consistent example. Our children need to see mom and dad living out their faith consistently every day. The interesting thing is, as Paul talks about here, he says, "I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears." He was just reminding them of the example that he had given to them. It's interesting that example is one of the primary ways of leadership development. You want to develop a leader? Give them a good example. Are you with me? If you want to develop your children to follow God, give them an example of what it means to follow God. If you have people in your small group, if you have new believers, new Christians, people who have just come to Jesus and they're looking to you for guidance, for counsel, give them a good example of what it means to live a consistent Christian life. The reality is, and I think we've got a slide here, is that we are all someone's example. How many would agree with that this morning? We are all someone's example. And so the question is, what kind of example are we giving? I was thinking about a few thoughts, some questions that came to my mind, and one of them being, and I think some of them are in your notes there, if someone followed your example, how would they be doing? Think about that question for a minute. If someone followed your example, of whatever, maybe your example of being a follower of Jesus, how would they be doing? If people were to follow your example of prayer, how would they be doing? If they were to follow your example of honesty and integrity, how would they be doing? If they were to follow your example of how you speak about others, how would they be doing? I remember one of our former youth pastors, and you remember the story of Peter and Andrea Lewis. They were with us for a number of years, and they used to have this little expression. They would say, "Stupid, stupid," and they talked about this publicly, so I can share this story. But it wasn't very long, and their little 2-year-old, everything was stupid. How many know what I'm saying? You know, those children just have a way of following our example. And so they quickly had to change their vocabulary. And it wasn't like they were saying anything terrible, but it was just not a good example for them to actually begin to pick up on. And so we chuckle about that, that kind of stuff. And so, good questions. If someone was to follow your example, how would they be doing? And so I want to encourage you this morning to use this as a time in your life to, if we're wanting to live a legacy, what kind of legacy, what kind of example are we wanting to leave our children and those that follow us? Paul here talks about what he was like in times of testing and trial. He talked about tears. He talked about the pressures that he was under, how oftentimes wherever he would go, there would be those who would plot against him, the Jewish leaders who were really struggling with this new Christian faith type thing, and they would come and resist him. Oftentimes, you read in the book of Acts, and Paul was in prison. He was being beaten, he found himself in all kinds of trouble. And yet the one thing with Paul is that he never became bitter. He never spoke evil of those who were in opposition to him. And so in those times of struggle, hardship, Paul said, I tried to live well among you. And so that kind of person inspires us. Paul was an inspiring person. He goes on in verse 20. Look at verse 20. He says, "You know, I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you." He says, "But I taught you publicly and from house to house." One of Paul's purposes was to preach the gospel, was to preach God's word to the people. And Paul was one of these guys who was willing to actually speak what needed to be said. He wasn't afraid to give the truth. He wasn't afraid to say what needed to be said. He didn't sugarcoat the word of God. Instead, he would preach it. In fact, he actually said to Timothy one time in 2 Timothy, he said, "All scripture is needed." He says, "It's for our good, it's for our benefit. It's God-breathed, it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." Paul, he said, "I didn't hesitate to give you what you needed." And that's really important if we are going to lead people in the ways of God, that we are not afraid to give people the word of God and what's needed. And so Paul's heart was that these elders, it's interesting that he called the leadership of the church, he called them in, and he says, "You need to be doing this. In a sense, you need to be doing what I've done for you. You need to not be afraid to bring the word of God to your people." And then he says in verse 21, he says, "And I have declared to both the Jews and the Greeks that they must turn to God." The challenge of Paul's heart was to take the gospel to all people. And so how we live matters. How I live matters. And then we go to verse 22. Maybe go to the next slide there, Chris. He says, and it just basically moves to another thought here, and that is how I listen matters. How I listen matters. And now compelled, look at verse 22, and now compelled by the Spirit, he says, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city that the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. And so here's Paul as he's moving along from place to place. He's listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says it's time to move along. He moves along. And the interesting thing is, even though he's going to Jerusalem, not knowing what's going to happen there, he is reminded that every time I go somewhere, he says, the Holy Spirit tells me that prison and hardships are waiting me. Now, how many think that that's a, you know, if that was the what was in the plan, how many of us would be saying, count me in? The reality is, a lot of us would say, I'm not sure if I want to do that. Here's the point I want to make, is that when we are following God's will, and we've shared this before, it does not guarantee that everything's going to go well. How many have discovered that? That's right. Just because you are in the will of God does not mean that everything is going to go well. The important thing is that you are listening, though. And so sometimes God is going to lead us in ways where we are going to actually have to face difficulties and hardships. The point I want to make here is that God still speaks to us today. It's one of the things that we want to be doing this week as we are gathering in our times of prayer, is we want to be listening. We're encouraging you to bring your Bibles. I believe God often speaks to us, well, not often, he always does, speaks to us through his word, but he also speaks to us through his Spirit. And so as you come this week, even for prayer, come with a listening heart. Come with a listening soul. Come with a listening spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Ask God to show you some things. Ask God to give you some thoughts for 2017. Maybe some priorities. Maybe some things that need adjustments. Maybe some things that need to come into alignment. Listen. God wants to speak to us. And it's so important that we have a listening ear. One of the reasons that Paul was so successful in his following Jesus, even though oftentimes it was hard, is that he was willing to listen. He was willing to hear the voice of God, even though oftentimes it meant struggle and hardship. Oftentimes it meant difficulty. And so one of the reasons that Paul has a great legacy to leave behind for these churches that he's planted and leaders that he's helped to equip is because he has taught them how to listen. And he wants them to listen. He wants them to pay attention to the voice of God and the Holy Spirit. I believe that as a church, as we are launching into 2017, God's going to have things for us to do this year that we didn't do last year. God's going to lead us into some new priorities, some new direction that, you know, what was good like 15 years ago, the reality is God may have something completely a new direction planned for us as we go forward. And the important thing is that we be paying attention and listening. And so part of living a legacy is being a person who listens to the voice of God. And then the last thought here in verses 24 through 26, he said, I consider my life worth nothing to me. So, you know, basically these elders are wondering, why do you keep putting yourself in this? Why do you keep risking your life? Wouldn't that be an obvious question? Why Paul, why don't you just stay here in Ephesus with us where it's safe, where you've got a nice community here of people around you. Why don't you just stay here with us? Wouldn't that be a, how many would be in on that? You know what? We'll provide housing for you. We'll give you a nice, you'll be able to preach on in the center. You'll be able to just come and we'll just have some great times together. We'll be able to have picnics together and barbecues and stuff like that. And it'll all be cool. Why would you want to go to this next town? Why would you want to go to Jerusalem where you just know it's going to be, you're going to get a rough ride there? He says in verse 24, he says, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only that I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. And I see here in this last part of this legacy is that Paul wanted to finish well. We often talk about that, don't we? Finishing well. Paul, it was Paul's desire to finish the race that God had called him to. You see, for Paul, it was far more important to Paul that he finish well than to be comfortable, to have a nice, comfortable end. And so he says, I consider my life worth nothing. And I read something, someone actually made an interesting point on this thought here, is that the reason that Paul could say, my life is worth nothing, is that Paul had transferred the ownership of his life to Jesus. Does that make sense? Paul had transferred the ownership of his life to Jesus. And I'm really challenged by that thought. That's one of the calls that God has, if we are going to run the race that God has given to us, is that we must be willing to transfer the ownership of our life over to Him. And it's one of the challenges I believe that we need to be challenged by as we are heading into 2017. That we increasingly transfer the ownership of our life over to Him. And so this was Paul's top priority. His top priority was not how he was going to live out his retirement years. His top priority was that he would finish well. And friends, how we finish really does matter. And as we head into communion this morning, that scripture where Paul said, my life is worth nothing, does that sound familiar to anyone? What did the Bible say about Jesus in Philippians? He said, speaking of Jesus, he said, he counted himself nothing, but was willing to give up who he was in order to go to the cross for us. And I'm thankful this morning that Jesus gave us that example. I believe that Paul was following the example of Jesus, who was willing to lay down his life in order to finish and complete the assignment that God had given to him. And so when Paul says, I want to finish well, I want to finish the race, I want to complete the assignment that God's given to me, he was reflecting on Jesus who had did the same thing. When Jesus went to the cross, the whole point of Jesus going to the cross was to finish the assignment that God had given to him, to go and give his life for us. And this morning, I think we have a slide that says that we are all beneficiaries of the finished work of Jesus. How many are thankful for that this morning? We are all beneficiaries of the fact that Jesus was willing to go all the way for us. He knew what was ahead. He knew that the cross was before him. He knew that suffering and hardship and bloodshed and death, laying down his life was before him, and yet Jesus was willing to go for us. And I'm so thankful this morning that Jesus went all the way and finished well. Talk about a legacy, amen? Talk about a legacy that we get to live today as well. And legacies are something that we must not ignore. You are living a legacy. You are leaving a legacy. You are leaving an impression upon other people to follow. And Jesus has done that for us. And today as we move into communion, we're reminded of that this morning. So I'm going to just invite you just to bow your heads with me. I encourage you to take those scriptures that we've looked at here in Acts chapter 20, and maybe even this week, spend some time and just reflect on Paul's, how he lived his life, and what does that suggest to me, to you, on how you can live your life in such a way that will honor him. And so we're going to move into communion this morning. We're going to take some time just to remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross and give thanks today. But before we do that, I want us just to just pause and ask ourselves just some of those questions today. If people were following my example, what would that example look like? What is God saying when it comes to listening? What is he saying to us? What is he saying to you? Ask yourself, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me in my life today? What is it that perhaps needs to be changed? What needs to be adjusted? One of the questions is where are you on the race? Some of you are just starting in your Christian life. You've got your whole Christian life ahead of you. And, you know, how we start is great, too. Some of you are kind of in the middle of the journey. And sometimes in the middle of a race, it can be hard. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a long-distance marathon. We've got three stations set up. Two up top and one down here. And we're going to invite you to come and just take a cup and a piece of bread with you and then go back to your seat. And today we're going to do something a little bit differently. Sometimes what we do is we'll just say go and just take that cup and just begin to receive it. Today we're going to invite you to come and receive your communion and take it back to your seat, and then we're going to all receive together today. We're just going to do this collectively as a whole group today. And so I want to just say that if you have never given your life over to Jesus Christ, then I want to encourage you to do that this morning. If you haven't opened your heart to Christ, then we would ask that you not receive communion. But today could be the day that you actually begin this new journey, this get on this Christian life and race that God's called you to. And so if you are here this morning and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, then today would be an awesome day where you open up your heart and receive him. And I want to say also, if you are here and maybe you've drifted, maybe you've gotten off, maybe you've gotten in the ditch, whatever, today is a good day. And communion just reminds us that God's grace is always calling us back. We were praying about this before the service, that God's grace calls us back. A lot of times we feel unworthy. We feel like, well, I shouldn't take communion because I've got sin in my life. Well, that's why we receive. We need his grace. I need his grace every week, every day. And so this table is full of welcome, and come and receive and experience God's grace again today. So we're going to just... we're going to have some music playing in the background this morning, and then just come on up here and go to the stations, and then go to your seats and wait, and we'll all receive together, all right? think of ways that you are a beneficiary of the finished work of Jesus. Apostle Paul, he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Just take the bread and just hold it up. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful this morning that you allowed your body to be broken for us. And today we just want to receive this piece of bread as a reminder of that great price that you paid for us, that you were broken because of our brokenness. Because of your brokenness, Jesus, we can be healed today. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And so we thank you, Lord. Everyone, let's just give him thanks right now. Just give him thanks. Lift your voice and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Let's partake together. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup. Everyone, just take your cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." He said, "Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So let's just hold up the cup. Let's just thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your shed blood. Thank you that you gave your life on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Before we drink this, I spent some time this week with a person who was really struggling with guilt and shame and condemnation. And it was so good to be able to bring them back to the cross and bring them back to the grace of God. And the Bible says that as far as the east is from the west, so he removes our sins from us. Isn't that good news? And as we sat together and as we prayed together and as we looked forward together, there's just something about the blood of Jesus Christ that basically washes away all of our sin. You see, when God looks down upon us, he doesn't see what we've done. He sees the robe of righteousness that Jesus has placed upon us. And so we can't take this for granted, folks. We can't take what Christ has done for us on the cross, the finished work. We don't have to keep paying for our sins. We have to repent of our sins, but we don't have to pay for our sins. The Apostle Paul, he simply called people to turn their life to God, to Christ. And I wanted to say, again, if you are struggling with guilt or shame or condemnation, or the Bible says there is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Satan just wants to see you wallow in that defeat and guilt and shame. But friends, as we started out this morning, the song, the beginning of the service was, we're finally free because of the blood of Jesus. And so there's freedom. The path forward, the power forward is in the grace of God. The path to victory today is in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's give him thanks right now. Hold your cup up and just say, thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And now let's receive it together. Thank you, Lord. Let's just go out with just that declaration of God's power and victory and grace in our life. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.